Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey everybody, I'm here with food and lifestyle photographer Tyler Darden. Tyler's based out of Richmond, Virginia, and his photos have been published in the Wall Street Journal, Self Magazine, Men's Health, and more, much more. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It is my pleasure. Your work is beautiful, and it's funny.
You're very kind.
Whenever I have food photographers on the show, I always have everyone's website open, but with the food photographers, I'm sitting here looking at like chicken and some kind of casserole dish just on your homepage. It's making me drool. So you're
very good.
Affecting my focus already.
Yeah, it's definitely an art to it all, and it's a team that puts it all together. So I can't say it's all me. I work with a lot of very talented food stylists that make everything look as good as it can be, you know.
And you know, definitely. And we're going to get into that because I think food photography is something that it is an art, but for the amateur, they may not know it. And in the age of social media, where everybody wants to take a picture of their dinner and throw it up on Facebook.
So true.
And you can tell the ones where they don't know what they're doing because it looks like a blob and the lighting is horrible. And even myself, I recall trying to get, it was one Super Bowl a few years ago and I made these ribs and they looked delicious. And I took out my camera and it was my professional camera and I'm trying to get a good shot. And my husband got so impatient because I spent like an hour trying to get a decent photo. And, you know, like my specialty was family photography at the time. I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
And it just brought a whole new level of respect for what goes into it.
I completely understand. And, you know, a lot of times that's where we start. It's just trying to capture something because we had an awesome experience with the food. So we want to communicate that through the photos.
Right.
But yeah, you definitely have to, you know, nurture the skills that come along with lighting and, you know, not posing, but composing the elements in the space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, before we get into the nuts and bolts of food and lifestyle photography, can you first tell us about yourself? Give us an overview of your background and how you ended up doing what you're doing today.
So funny. I'll try to give you the short version of it. I've been taking pictures all my life. I think my parents gifted me, you know, a consumer level, you know, prosumer level DSLR that was a film-based camera when I was 16 or 17. And I loved it. I mean, I kind of kept it wherever, you know, with me wherever I went. But I also, you know, was an artist. Like I drew caricatures when I was in high school and in college. So I was kind of torn between the two, between, you know, drawing and design and photography. And I use photography a lot as a tool for reference for, you know, different kinds of paintings and stuff like that. And I actually drew caricatures when I was in high school and in college. But I still, throughout all this, was taking pictures, you know, kind of the typical kind of, you know, whatever you find that's interesting, fascinating, you know, nothing too deep. It was just, you know, kind of pretty pictures. Mm-hmm. But I ended up going to Virginia Commonwealth University, which has a fantastic art program. You know, their program at the time was design, illustration, and photography. So we were able to get a lot of all of that learning all together. And I ended up, you know, coming out of there with a major in design and illustration and minor in photography. So I, you know, right out of the gates, got a job as a graphic designer. And then, you know, sort of my next job was a magazine art director, which was, you know, kind of an easier way to get a job is just more opportunities in design. But as an art director, you have to have a really good understanding of the art that you're trying to direct, that you're ordering, that you're buying. And so I, you know, would do my fair share of, you know, photos here when my budget ran out and that sort of thing. And then also I hired the best photographers that I could afford. And I would go out on the shoots with them, you know, as the art director, but typically I would carry their equipment because it's a low budget kind of operation. And they oftentimes didn't have a, you know, an assistant. So the assistant would be me. And from there, yeah, I learned a lot from, you know, just some of the best people in the business. And then I would go try some of these things on my own and fail miserably. And, you know, you struggle at this and that, but through each, you know, trial, you would learn some more. And so basically I'd, after about, you know, 15 years of being a magazine art director, I had a pretty good portfolio in food and people and portraits and lifestyle and that sort of thing. And the timing was right for me to do a little bit of teaching and sort of transition out of being a magazine art director. And so I was actually teaching as an adjunct at Virginia Commonwealth and teaching basically lighting and basic photography to students in the program. And that helped really reinforce lighting and camera operation. And about that time, digital photography was really becoming affordable so that students could buy a camera. And I could, within a semester, with a digital camera, I could take them from basic camera operation all the way to using studio lights.
Oh, nice.
And it was, yeah, it's pretty cool. So the, you know, the technology being as it may, you get that instant feedback. You can see your mistakes. And then you can take those mistakes and learn from them and make adjustments. And that was, yeah, I was able to teach and help these kids learn, you know, very quickly. And myself as well. So I would try out different techniques on, you know, with them as I was teaching. That made my work continually get better. So, you know, after that, you began doing food photography, food and lifestyle photography full time. And that was about 2011. So I guess that's 8 or 9 years that I've been doing it full time.
That's really cool. And as I'm listening, and there's some interesting parallels between our journeys. I went to University of Michigan, mm-hmm. and majored in graphic design and illustration as well. And
oh, cool.
That's when I started learning photography. I didn't officially minor in it, but that's where I first picked up a digital camera. They were just closing out the film program in the
True.
Art school.
Yes.
So unfortunately, mm-hmm. and I'm very upfront about this on the show, I have no experience with film. Yet. Note the yet.
Well, when my experience with film, you know, we shot a lot of chrome or mm-hmm. transparency film for the magazine that I work for, because it was very quick to get it developed and then scanned. So it's even more sensitive to being, you know, to exposure and getting your exposure right and your lighting right.
Right.
Because once you got that scan back, there were no raw files or anything like that. You know, you're looking at a JPEG or a TIFF at best, and still you had very little that you could do with it in post compared to what we can do in raw these days. So you really had to get that right. And it forced you to be disciplined about your exposure and bracketing and that sort of thing.
Definitely. Definitely. And you know how you mentioned you went on to be a magazine art director. And out of college, well, first I was a graphic designer at a publishing company, but eventually I went on to be a magazine art director. Well, not art director, I guess associate editor,
mm-hmm.
But playing the role of art director as well. And you're right. It's, being an art director, it does, how did you put it? I'll paraphrase. I hope I don't butcher it. But, you know, it trains your eye, and
True.
You're managing
mm-hmm.
people, and it just sharpens your skills all around. And so much more with teaching as well. I love your teaching background. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, so it's like project management, you know, really helped, you know, as an art director, because you're juggling so many different projects. And
yes.
then as teaching, you know, I love giving back to the students and seeing them have that aha moment, and they're kind of struggling, and, you know, and then you kind of make that suggestion, and then all of a sudden, you know, they kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a great part of my journey. Absolutely. I think it seems like everything that you do helps you develop skills for something that you'll need later.
Definitely. And I'm looking at your portfolio. You are quite versatile. Your food and drink portfolio is, as I torture myself, I should have had breakfast before the show. It's amazing. And then I go to your portraits as well of people, and it's clear your knowledge of lighting and composition and even posing. I mean, you've got, they look like maybe dancers, maybe a good 8 of them arranged very professionally. You've got people outside, a guy in the gym. You've got your travel portfolio as well. And it's, I almost feel like food and lifestyle is almost an understatement, because what you do encompasses a lot, a whole lot. And so what's your favorite, by the way?
That's difficult. I guess it's really close.
All your
between
work is strong.
Thank you. You're very sweet. I love working with people. You know, just being able to sit down, talk to them a little bit if you have the moment, you know, before taking a picture and mm-hmm. trying to get, you know, get them into the frame of mind of what, you know, what we're trying to do, or get them relaxed in front of the camera. That's, you know, it's a really enriching part of the job. So I love it when, you know, everything clicks and you get that great expression or that honest moment, or, you know, a really powerful portrait or something like that. And I try to, you know, incorporate, I think that the stuff that I do with the food, because the food's not jumping around and it's not arguing with you and it's not getting upset with you, you know, taking so long to set your lights or something like that, mm-hmm. that you know, you can kind of like practice a little bit on it, because it is inanimate. As you know, certain kinds of food obviously do die more quickly on set and that sort of thing. But you know, you can still like kind of fudge and experiment and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, with a person, you really have to kind of walk on set with a fairly clear idea of where you're going to put lights and how that's going to be set up, and you know what type of pose is going to go with how this photo is going to be used, if it's going to be in a magazine or if it's going to need extra space for graphic elements, you know, how close you can get with the person. So it's good to have an idea of what you're walking into either way, but it's a little bit more important with people. But I'd probably say, you know, working with people is just a hair more of a favorite, I guess.
Just a hair. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, looking at all your photos that have people in it, I'm seeing natural, relaxed expressions. None of the deer in headlight stuff that I think a lot of us tend to get in the beginning as we're learning. I know I certainly did. It takes much more than just telling your client to smile, you know. If only it were that easy. Tell them to smile and look natural.
As I progress, like, the photography becomes the easier part, and right? The harder part is making people feel comfortable in front of the lens, or making sure you time the food onto set at the right time so that it's not dying, and, you know, that sort of thing. And coordinating with your team to make sure everything's happening and you can get, you know, X number of shots off for the client and that sort of thing. So, yeah, there's a lot of other, you know, things you've got to consider, I guess.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that you went full-time in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in our pre-interview chat, you made a statement that I thought was really cool. You said that, again, I'm paraphrasing, I hope I don't butcher it, but as creative as we have to be with our camera, you also have to be just as creative, if not more, with your business. And
so true.
A lot of us struggle with that, a lot of us creative types, and I know I'm definitely one of those where I have made literally every mistake in the book, and I've shared some horror stories on the show, you know, from like charging $25 an hour for my first mm-hmm. portraits that I did for people. The business side is something a lot of us don't think about, especially when we first step into it, or if you have family and friends telling us, oh, you're great with the camera, you should make a business. And what I found is that for myself, it's about 80% business stuff and 20% camera in my hands. And a lot of us don't expect
true.
That.
In my experience, I completely agree, you know, with your 80-20 rule right there. For me, it's the art first. I love to make pictures. I love to create. I love to have, you know, something that's created in my hands. Mm-hmm. That is for me, the joy of the whole process and, you know, sharing that, you know, putting that out into the world. The other side of that is like being able to get enough money for that so you can continue to get to your next project and you
right.
can pay your bills and you can, you know, I've got a child who just started college. He's a freshman, so I've got to pay for college
goodness.
And stuff like that. So, yeah, it becomes, you know, how can you sustain this is probably the best, you know, best way to put it.
Right. And that's what I want to dig into. Primarily, as you got your business up and running, 2012 and beyond, what did you struggle with and consequently learn from that?
So, you know, I think the first thing was getting the website up and running, getting your promo cards, if you're going to go that route, whatever you're doing for your advertising, mm-hmm. making it look cohesive. So I did mm-hmm. talk with some great people at AdBase, and they have a campaign manager program there that at the time really helped me out, because they basically looked at, you know, the body of work that I had. These are former art buyers, and they're, you know, people that are easily in the industry, you know, on a daily basis. So they kind of know what trends are going on, and they'll take a look at your body of work and they'll give you an honest assessment. Now, it's not cheap, but it was, you know, it was very valuable at that point because, you know, I was trying to figure out, you know, what I could do with this body of work, how to market it and put it together. And so they recommended, you know, pairing, you know, different photos together and a different strategy on how to put together, you know, email promotions and, you know, follow that up with a very similar looking mail promotion. And that was, you know, instrumental in, you know, going from, say, hey, I've got a bunch of great looking images to being more focused and saying, I'm going to be a food photographer. I'm going to be a lifestyle photographer because, you know, now jumping to that next stage, they were telling me that art buyers like to see, you know, some specialty in there where you're, you know, really focusing on a specific market. And that's something that you enjoy doing and that you're, you know, you're really focused on it. And so they were able to, you know, focus the work and help me display it in a way that, you know, now when I go to market it, people would remember me for a certain specialty. Mm-hmm. Even though I do a lot of, you know, very different things, that may not go up in that edit. So that first thing was, you know, getting that website, editing the body of work, and then, you know, just narrowing it, focusing it so that the marketing could, you know, work like it's supposed to work.
You know what I really like about this? It was 2010. Facebook was definitely around. You didn't just throw some photos up on Facebook and hope it gets a lot of likes and have that magically make you $1 million in your business. You actually went a structured way. You got outside eyes. You got your work critiqued.
Yes.
Constructively, and you were willing to invest in your business. You mentioned it wasn't cheap, but sometimes that investment is absolutely worth it. We've mentioned on the show hiring a photography coach. That's another investment that's worth it, mm-hmm. as long as they're mm-hmm. a good coach. And so for this one, I mean, it sounded like they really guided you with your marketing promotions. You had actual structure, not just Facebook yes. hope.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, hey, I'm, you know, I've got all this experience as a magazine art director. I can do this myself. And, you know, so I tried, you know, tried to edit it. And then I sent that body of work to them. And they're like, yeah, you know, but let's look at the markets here and let's look at what you have. And now let's start to have an eye that's different than yours. And I think that's very valuable, is that somebody who has a fresh eye, who's not really familiar with your work, starts to pull together things that you wouldn't have really considered. You know, this photo that was taken at a different time and place than this one, but there's some similarities there that when you put them together, they kind of begin a different narrative that, you know, helps you, you know, with your focus on the work too.
Absolutely. And this group of people, who did you say they were? How did you find them?
So AdBase is, it's basically a mailing service, and, you know, they basically do, you know, you subscribe to their mailing list, so you can send out emails to different art directors and art buyers. And but they've also got this Campaign Manager Pro program. So it's different levels. So you can just buy access to the mailing list and just send out your stuff, or you can, you know, get more of a full service approach with them.
That's cool. I just looked them up now.
Yeah.
And get noticed, get hired. So marketing services for artists. Photographers, illustrators. That's really neat. Okay.
Yeah. You know, when I subscribed to it, it was ad-based. Now it's Agency Access. So right. That's the website. It's agencyaccess.com, or I think if you do adbase.com, that's it was two agencies and one bought the other one out.
Okay. Gotcha. How cool. And you also mentioned that one of your struggles was getting your website up. Now, I'm looking at your website right now, and it is clean. It is professional. It is lovely. And it's on Photo Shelter's platform,
yes.
or built with Photo Shelter. Did you
yes.
start with them or work your way to them?
I didn't. I started by doing my own, you know, sort of custom coded website, which
took
forever. And, you know, it was kind of a project to teach myself coding, and, mm-hmm. and it was okay. But right around that same time, I was showing my work up at, up in New York, at, PhotoWorks. And Photo Shelter had a table up there, and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting, you know, and that sort of thing. And they were just kind of demonstrating it. And I was like, wait a second, this is clean. It's very easy to put together. And, you know, they've got these search engine optimization built in. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for it. I was up there for like 3 days. I signed up for it on the second day and had the website up within maybe 2 hours the next day. And it was amazing. So, I mean, you know, obviously it's been tweaked and that sort of thing, but their platform is for me, very easy to understand, very easy to update. And there's a very good client, portal right there so that I can put galleries up for clients and they can see them, download several different variations and stuff like that. And, you know, it's been very friendly as far as like showing my work, updating it and getting the work to into the hands of clients after the shoot is done.
You know, Photo Shelter, they've been a past sponsor of this show and they're amazing. I love them.
It's yeah, really.
One of the most common struggles I hear with photographers is getting their website together. They'll say, I'm not a web designer, I'm a photographer. What right. do I do? And then there's nothing worse than encountering, I've been at social outings, or I'll run into a photographer who's trying to get their business up and running, or a networking meeting, and I'll ask to see their website, and immediately they're like, oh, well, I'm still putting it together.
Yes.
I don't have a website, but you can check out my Facebook page. And it's like, if you want to be taken seriously, I mean, Facebook has its place. I'm not trying to sure. knock mm-hmm. Facebook in this interview,
yeah.
but you have to have a home for your images that is your own. And Photo Shelter, they make it very easy to get your work up there. And
yes.
they have
yes.
these wonderful templates. I mean, you're right. It's clean. It's modern looking. It's not a headache. You're not banging your head against the desk.
That's true.
Yep. And I'm glad you mentioned how long it took you, because that was one of my favorite questions to ask Photo Shelter users is, how long did it get your website? Did it take you to get your website up? And everyone says, usually it's within the hours. No one says, oh, it took me a month.
Yeah. No, I highly recommend it. And there's some other really good portfolio sites out there that I've seen. I just haven't seen enough of them that have made me want to switch off Photo Shelter at the moment.
Right.
So.
Right.
And one other really good thing that I got to give them a shout out to that has been really fantastic for my work in the last couple of years. You know, I think about 3 or 4 years ago, I was really trying to work on the search engine optimization so that when people search for, say, food photography in Richmond or food photography in Virginia or something like that, trying to get my results to show up higher. Mm-hmm. And they've got built-in metadata and search engine optimization tools mm-hmm. that you just have to like kind of fill in the blanks, like sort of walk you through like, fill in this blank, fill in, you know, just check off all these boxes. And it, you know, it took about a month or 2 months before I could really start to see results from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gotten a lot of clients and referrals off of just simple Google searches because of that.
And you know, what's cool is you're not the first person to say that.
Okay.
And that is so powerful to have SEO built in working for you, having people finding you via Google. And I'm glad that you highlighted, you do have to take the time to fill in that information.
Yes.
It doesn't just magically happen.
It's not an easy thing. It will take hours to, you know, to fill in those little boxes and attach metadata and work, get that into your workflow. So you got to be able to put like keywords and stuff like that,
right.
In on your photos as you upload to the site. And that will continue to help your SEO, your search engine optimization.
It's worth it.
It's absolutely
worth it. And I love that you mentioned the client portal as well. If you're trying to be a professional photographer, you have to have a professional way to deliver your photos. Whether you're using Photo Shelter, there are other services out there that are also amazing, such as Zenfolio or SmugMug. That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others. But you have to have a way to deliver the work to your clients, especially if they're commercial clients. I feel like that's half the battle. Or not a battle, but if you're able to do that, then it makes you look so much more professional, delivering
right.
the work in the way that your clients, it has to fit into their workflow.
Right. And they've built it out so that, you know, if you've got a corporate client or an agency, they can log mm-hmm. in, download the work, but they also right. have a way that if you're doing, say, family portraits or sessions, that people can order prints from mm-hmm. there. And they get delivered straight to their house. You know, it goes through a print lab and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I've experimented with that, you know, because I've had people ask me for, you know, family photos. And, you know, I would fill in here and there and do some for people that are friends of friends and that sort of thing. And that has worked well. I don't really use it as much because we've got a really good print service here in Richmond that does an awesome job. And, you know, I typically go through that and just have them send through there, but I have set it up and it's really neat how you can set up pricing and you can, you know, people can purchase straight from the site, you know, just my business model is not set up, you know, quite to take advantage of that. But I could see somebody who's doing sessions, and doing more family portraits or any of those, more direct to consumer, you know, kind of, jobs, how it would really be valuable to them.
Totally. So, you know, since we're talking about clients a bit, I am curious, Tyler, what have you found to be some of the most effective techniques in finding new clients, new targeted clients?
That's a great question that I'm constantly trying to answer. you know, I think it kind of depends on, you know, trying to figure out your market and figure out who's buying the art. So, you know, right now, you know, my target is more advertising agencies and, you know, kind of corporate image libraries. You know, sometimes, you know, I work with a couple of my clients are regional grocery stores. So they found me through like a simple Google search, which was awesome. And I, once I got the opportunity, I just really tried to make them a repeat client. But it takes a little bit of networking. So you kind of have to meet the art buyers where they are. And they love the face-to-face because there's, you know, they want to be sure that if they're going to promise their client and, you know, these kind of results, and they are also, you know, they've got this budget and it's, they're spending a lot of money for the rights to these photos. They want to, you know, the confidence that this person that's on the other end of this website or photo gallery or whatever can deliver on what they promised. So I think a lot of times trying to get face-to-face time with them helps. And that can be in the form of, you know, reaching out to an agency and say, hey, can I show my book? I'm going to be in town for a couple days. Or there's a couple different events where you can go and meet creative directors and art directors, art buyers, like PhotoWorks in New York. Now they've done a PhotoWorks LA, and I think it's PhotoWorks with an F, F-O-T-O-W-O-R-K-S.
Okay.
And they, you know, and they also have, you know, different levels of kind of representation. But I've done that a couple times, and it's, I can see where, you know, that face-to-face interaction definitely helps the, you know, the rapport and, you know, their comfortability with hiring you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, and there's no getting around that even in our age of technology. And for all those listeners who are introverts out there and groaning, suck it up. No.
Yes.
I'm an introvert too. Let me smooth that over a little bit. Be a little more gentle.
I am too. Yeah.
Right. And even if you're an introvert, you have to get out there and meet your target market face to face. And if I can do it, anyone can do it. It's totally worth it. There's nothing like talking to someone and they can put a face to a name and just building that rapport. It is so powerful. I know some photographers and also artists, I've seen amazing work that they don't get out and meet people though. Well, they'll just keep it all to themselves or maybe just like social media, but you have to really put yourself out there in a professional way. And there's nothing like networking events where your target market is going to be and talking to people face to face.
Yeah. You just have to kind of bite the bullet and just go and talk to people that you're not familiar with, or, you know, maybe do a little research and, you know, kind of know, hopefully the agencies that would be represented at an event like this, or just be able to talk about your work in a minute or less without feeling like desperate for a job or something like that, you know? And I found it, you know, it helps me to have like some great looking cards that I feel really good about, you know, business cards. I use moo.com a lot for, business cards. And they have this option on there where you can print, say, 50 different images or five sets of 10 images. And so each back of each card is a different photo for me. So
I'll keep,
you know, half a dozen of those in my pocket. And, you know, when I'm talking with somebody after we're done, you know, if I kind of feel like, hey, they're a drink kind of person, I give them a, you know, a card with a drink on the back of it. Or if they're, you know, they love hamburgers and barbecue kind of thing, I'll give them a barbecue card, you know, something like that. That kind of like, or I'll give them, you know, I'll fan out the deck and say, hey, you know, choose your favorite right here. And that's another kind of like, you know, icebreaker kind of thing. So the cards, those are great cards. And I love updating them because, you know, the print quality is really awesome. The whole interface on the website is great, but it also helps with, you know, talking and presenting yourself, because now you are, you're not just a face, but you've got a nice looking card behind that. And hopefully that leads, if they, you know, check your website out, the website looks, you know, clean and similar to the card.
Talk about being prepared. Yeah. Oh, so I have going through my head right now just past mistakes that either I've made or I've seen others make, even with just their business cards, or showing up to a network meeting without business cards. Or I've seen paper-thin, crappy business cards. I've seen business cards with the email address misspelled, so that when you try to get in touch with a person, it goes nowhere. It bounces back.
True, yeah.
And you're absolutely right. If you walk in with cards that are high quality, I love the way you customize your sets of cards. That's fun. That's a great icebreaker. You feel more confident. Mm-hmm. Even if you're nervous about walking into the meeting, I mean, you've got basically a product in your hands that you're proud of. And then you start, you know, you're able to communicate your passion and your nervousness starts to go away because, like, hey, look at these cool cards and pick your favorite. You know,
absolutely.
That is so cool. That is so cool. And, you know, so this is cool.
Well, let me say one thing, too, with the face-to-face interviews, like PhotoWorks and that sort of things. Now, those kind of things can be a little pricey as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you're paying for like 15 minutes of FaceTime with the art director, and they will give you honest feedback on your work. So it's a very expensive way to get honest feedback. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that feedback is very objective. So, you know, there's no like, no real standard, I guess, for different markets in photography. So these art directors are coming at it from their perspective and what they need for their clients or for their, you know, their corporation that they're representing. Right. So they can give some feedback that can hurt a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember coming back from my first one and, you know, I'd invested probably $1,500 in meetings, you know, with these clients, plus travel up to New York and that sort of thing. And I came back and I'm like, I got a lot of work to do. You know, I got some honest feedback and I've got a, you know, this person says that they don't like this viewpoint, this camera angle or this lighting. I need a better stylist, you know, and the next, a lot of times as a food photographer, the next question they ask you is, who's your stylist? You know, so I was like, who's my go-to stylist? And I was like, So you can get some feedback that, you know, if you're not ready for it, it can really put you down in the dumps, or you can just pull yourself up and say, okay, you know, this is what it takes to get to the next level. So, you know, how am I going to get work outside of the region? And, you know, those, that kind of feedback can be helpful, but you got to know what to keep and what to throw away, or what to, you know, how best to use that information that, that you've been given.
Mm-hmm. Keep the constructive stuff.
You know,
it's one of my memories. It's a fond memory now, but at the time it was really hard in art school. And talk about criticism. You have your work critiqued, and not just for photography. Photography was actually the easier part. For me, it was a painting class. And I love the instructor now. But at the time, I was a freshman. It was the first class I had Monday morning. And we had some of the toughest criticism. It was constructive, but we were young and you weren't expecting it. And I think as creatives, we can be kind of sensitive, or at least I am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I really had to develop a thick skin. I mean, this particular instructor, he had people in tears at times.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, you do have to figure out what you're going to take constructively and apply to your work. And some things you do have to throw away, but you do have to develop a thick skin, especially if you're running a business, because it's about your, if you have clients, it's about your clients. You can have your own personal preferences. I mean, your technique has to be strong, but ultimately you do have to deliver what they want or what the market wants.
Yeah, that's very valuable. I think we could talk about, you know, critique all day long. Mm-hmm. But in my experience as a teacher in the university level, there are a lot of instances where there are classes or the critique is based on something that's very subjective.
Yes.
Or people's opinions. You know, somebody doesn't like the color blue, or, you know, they don't like centered compositions or something like that. So you almost have to start a critique with like, okay, we're only going to talk about technique, or we're only going to talk about like how this problem was solved. You kind of have to have a goal to be able to evaluate a piece, you know, or any creative piece of art. Because if there's nothing to kind of like hold it up against, you know, it's up to everybody's opinion, basically.
Right. That can drive you nuts. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, well, I think a big part of that, like you mentioned before, is identifying your target market, knowing who you're trying to appeal to.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so for like food photography, you know, there's many different markets. You've got your corporate markets, you've got your editorial markets. And so they, you know, oftentimes the editorial magazine markets tend to be more trendy and that sort of thing. So you have to kind of keep up with lighting trends or compositional trends or styling trends and that sort of thing. Whereas, you know, something that's a little bit more corporate or marketing or that sort of thing tends to be lit a little bit differently. It needs to be styled a little bit differently. And, you know, so I always ask those questions of the art buyer, like, where are we in this sort of range? You know, are we like really tight on the styling? Does the lighting need to be, you know, really bright and airy and bright shadows? Or, you know, are we going for a real moody kind of story moment here? You know, what type of, you know, what type of moment are we looking at right here? So those are kind of the things I try to get into their, into their head and where they want to go with these photos for their, you know, for their needs.
And, you know, this is a great segue into the team aspect of food photography. And you've mentioned earlier, and I've heard other food photographers mention that they can't do it alone and that it takes a team of people. And so would you be willing to kind of break down just quickly the different aspects of your team, like the stylist, et cetera?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I think the simplest thing, like if you're trying to break into food photography, is to work with a local or regional magazine or a weekly, you know, alternative newspaper or something like that, where you can go out and photograph at a restaurant. So there's all that, they're all the time doing restaurant reviews. So that's typically where I started when I was working for a magazine. I would go out and do the restaurant review images. And so you go there, you're working with a chef, and the chef is essentially your food stylist. And, you know, so they'll bring the food out and so you work with it, but it's live food. So you kind of have to know your lighting and stuff like that, or your kind of lighting recipe, you know, going into it, and be ready when the food comes out. Because if you're sitting there futzing with your settings and your lights and stuff like that, and the food just dies because, you know, typically it's served to eat immediately right there. And so they'll have a hot, piping hot dish, and you know, they put herbs and accents on top of it, and then they start to die because you have this, like, you know, very light herb that's, you know, sensitive to heat, and it just, you know, dies after a minute. Or you might have a sauce that separates, you know, before you get everything set up.
Okay, so this concept of food death is something you can visually see, like the food starts to wilt before your eyes.
Or... Yes. Yeah, it doesn't look fresh. You know, cheese sauces start to get a skin on top of them. Sauces separate. Herbs kind of wilt or darken. You know, anything that's been sitting out for a while, you know, will tend to look less shiny or glossy and that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Okay, so you mentioned, so as far as the food stylist, often that's the chef.
Yeah, so that's the easiest way to get into, you know, doing those dining reviews.
Very cool. And then do you have anyone else on your team, or are you...
Yes. So, you know, once you start right there, and once you've got a pretty good portfolio, because, you know, you do enough of those and you work with a really good chef and you get better with your lighting so that you have an idea and everything is set up when the food comes out. So you start to get some really good food shots. Then you can start to work with a food stylist, or, you know, if you want, you can start working with a food stylist, which is typically, you know, could be an ex-chef. The food stylist that I work with, her name's Diana Jeffra. And she is a former graphic designer who went to culinary school, and just, she saw, you know, food styling being done on set and really was interested in that. So she made it a clear effort to move into that field. And she contacted me because she was in the area, and we did some test shooting. So just to see if we would work well under stress, you know, tried a couple dishes and that sort of thing, each for our portfolio. So this is stuff that we did out of pocket. And that's something that you can do with somebody. So a lot of times people work really well with others. So maybe you've got a friend that is a great chef to start with, that can, you know, fix food, loves to fix food. And you kind of coordinate the dish and what you're going to fix and then bring it all together, you know, with the background and whatnot. So I typically work with a food stylist. And there's a couple talented ones in the region, but Diana is usually the first person I call. And then there's a prop stylist. So as the jobs get bigger, or you've got to do more shots within a day, And maybe these the backgrounds need to be completely different. So different surfaces, different tables, different space, that sort of thing. So you'd work with a prop stylist to bring in, you know, servingware, bowls, dishes, linens, tablecloths, different surfaces and stuff like that to help bring that together. So it starts with a team of three. And then as, you know, the shot list gets longer, you got more to do in a day. I'll pull in a, you know, a lighting assistant that will help, you know, change lights between setups. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's a second person that they're, you know, we may have to like move the location. So I'll need a second person to help pack up equipment and move to another location during the day or something like that. So, you know, we've had as many as, you know, 5 or 6, 7 people wow. on set. Sometimes the food stylist needs an assistant because, you know, the food stylist is working on the dish on set. But then the next dish needs to be prepped, or say you've got lasagna in the mix that you've got to cook, and it takes 3 hours to cook the lasagna and prep it and that sort of thing. So that's got to get started earlier on in the day. So you need to have a second or third food stylist working on those subsequent dishes that will be photographed down the line.
So as this is happening, are you dealing with all these, like, the smells of the food?
Oh, yeah.
Like, is that distracting?
That's the good part about it, right? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we do work a lot with live food. It's very rare that we, you know, we're using mashed potatoes for ice cream or something like that. Like we, you know, we're working with live food. It's most of the clients want that. And, you know, if you're doing a like a cheese pull or something like that, you've got to coordinate with whoever's approving it, saying, okay, we're going to have the cheese pull in 10 minutes. So make sure that whoever's approving the shot is close to set or is going to be available to be able to approve what we're getting. Because if we have to redo it, that's an extra hour that you got to pay for, you know.
Wow. This is an interesting glimpse into food photography.
Cool. Cool.
For
yeah.
Sure, for
yeah.
sure. And, you know, we're coming to the end of the interview, which makes me sad because this is such a cool topic and you're so easy to talk to.
Thank you.
Tyler, is there a particular photography resource, tool, online course, anything that you would recommend to our listeners who are trying to break into photography?
You know, for me, I'm all that sort of like a lifetime learner. I just love learning something new and how to make something better. So I love a lot of the online classes there are out there. So there's a lot of tutorials and free things on YouTube, but you kind of have to know what to look for. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I don't know what to look for because I don't know what I don't know. And so some of the classes that have been valuable for me to start with have been creativelive.com, mm-hmm. which is a great resource. And they just typically have channels going, so you can kind of sample the content from there. As far as the technique and that sort of thing, where I am right now is the Zach Arias classes, the One Light classes. Mm-hmm. So that's fundamentally just being able to like break it down to, you know, starting with one light. If you're going to be getting into lighting and using other than natural light, it's a great way to start those fundamentals, and he's got some great tips. So anything Zach Arias, you know, you go to his blog and check that out, and then, you know, make the jump into paying for one of his classes or something like that is really good. And I'm also seeing some really good stuff in the masterclass that just came out, I guess, in the past year or so or a couple months, mm-hmm. Where they've got these like famous people teaching the classes. So that might be a little bit later down the road for some people, but you know, I kind of would say start with the beginning, those sort of Creative Live or Zach Arias things, and then talk about business and stuff like that. There's photo estimating software that I use called BlinkBid. And that's really fantastic because a lot of times people want an estimate for how much photography costs. Mm-hmm. So when you can email them that estimate, it automatically puts you, you know, in a more professional sense because now this is what I feel like this work or what you're telling me that you need is worth. And so you can have that discussion. Oh, that's too expensive. Or do you have something that may be a little bit less than this? And so you can very quickly copy, you know, your estimate and provide a new estimate, you know, based on that, or you take out some services or take out some usage rights and that sort of thing. And you can be very responsive, when somebody is looking to get a quote on something.
Very cool. Love mm-hmm. it. Excellent resources. We will make sure to include those in the show notes. And cool. Tyler, my last question for you is definitely one of the most important ones. Tell us where we can find you online and check out your work.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, my website is simply tylerdarden.com or tylerdardenphotography.com. And then I post often on Instagram, and that's just tyler.darden.
Excellent. And your last name, Darden, D-A-R-D-E-N?
That's correct.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Tyler, for just giving us this fascinating glimpse into food photography and even the other points that we touched on with
interacting with people. Oh, it's
my pleasure.
Absolutely.
This has been cool.
Really appreciate the time.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.